to Brother Rogers' point early on, I guess on the perspective, when I ask someone to get up and speak to the church and all, that's a completely different perspective than sitting out there and listening. Obviously, that's a given. But I remember my dad, when he served as our pastor in Houston, my dad was a little rougher than I am, somewhat rougher than I am in speaking, but he would say that the best remedy of getting criticism of his speaking and preaching and all was to ask then someone to get up there in that spot, and that criticism ended. It would just end. You have a different perspective. But there's so much more. You find, you see your reliance on God, as Brother Roger mentioned, in up here. No man could get up and preach or even speak, read scriptures, so forth, without the presence of God guiding those thoughts and even the particular scriptures we might speak on. I'm going to go to 1 Peter, speak for just a bit on a subject. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And I just want one verse here to begin. And I've always tried to... and I remember one of my good friends years ago had mentioned that sometimes it seems like preachers, I'll limit it to preachers, would get up and just simply try to fill the stand, just fill it. That's not what we need to do. We need to go to where God would have us. And if it's just for a few minutes, then it's that. Well, the more important piece is to get a point across. And something that would be uplifting, as Brother Keith prayed, that we'd be uplifted today, and then it would be glorifying to God. And so, and in doing all of this, and I know I've preached of late, last several months, a lot on our obedience to God, our behavior as a child of God, as a member of the church, and so forth, and knowing that our home is in heaven, and so this is tied to that. This subject should permeate our lives constantly. So in the 17th verse of the first chapter, 1 Peter, he says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." I want to talk about fear a little this morning, but there's also a lot more here in this verse. And if you call on the Father, now I know that's talking about God the Father. But the wording here, Father, if ye call on the Father, whether that be in prayer or begging, imploring God, the Father, to help us in whatever situation. I know I told Brother Kevin Baker this morning that I'd been praying for him and in gathering that family together in the mourning of the loss of his aunt and so forth and all. And I know that he has been praying to God for strength in that and so forth. But this to me emphasizes the closeness of this. It's not just some invisible God, although he is, and so we can go to Scripture for that. But God the Father, we go to our Father, our spiritual Father, when we go to God, just as in our natural families, we would go to our fathers or our mothers when we needed something. We knew that we would get compassion from them. We would receive love and mercy and kindness from our natural parents. Now, if we were begging for forgiveness for something, there might be a little bit of anger mixed in there. I don't know why I looked at you, Brother Ronnie, but anyway, for our parents and things we might have done when we were children, but there's also the love and compassion. Think about your spiritual father. When we go to him, we're only going to receive love and care from him and mercy. And so when we go on in this particular verse here, as we get into that last word in this particular verse, it says, "Who without respect of persons." Without respect of persons. God doesn't look at any of us any better than the others in all that. He is equitable in that. And yet, even in saying that, it's beneath God. I can't imagine his thoughts being above ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth in this. But we can, I think it's Romans 2:11. I think it says that God is no respecter of persons. I can't build up all this goodwill with God and think, well, he'll treat me better as he's judging me, because it continues. If we call upon the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. It's each of us, and he knows those things. I believe Sister Stephanie requested that song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." He knows these things. He sees them. The Scripture and then our songs based on Scripture point us to the attributes and these descriptive terms of God. We have those things and the detail of Him. And we grow in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father in our lives as we grow closer to Him in this world. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth without according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here. I've talked about and let's remember, if I can digress for just a second here. I sometimes read God's word. As I'm reading it, I'm thinking, and it is written to us. It's written to the child of God, born again child of God. Does nothing, no good for the unregenerate. It does nothing good for the dead alien sinner, as it's worded. But also, things were taking place here. This is, and to speak of God's inspired word as history is certainly beneath it, but it is. Now, the Bible is not chronological and from page one to the end and all, but let's remember who Peter is writing to here and speaking to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He's to these sojourners, these strangers. That's who he's speaking to here. They were persecuted followers of Jesus Christ. They needed something here. And Peter had experienced some things in his life. We know that Peter certainly needed encouragement and strength given him in his faith. He had the very Savior, Redeemer, Jesus Christ, praying for him. I firmly believe that I have felt even the prayers of my Savior Jesus Christ, my high priest, because he is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Who better to know? I appreciate you all, and when we share things among one another, y'all pray for one another. Will you pray for me? And you're supportive, but who knows me and you better than Jesus Christ? That everything points to in the Word here, the Word of God, and in the world itself is to Jesus Christ. But he's writing to these strangers, and all elect is who he's writing to. So pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, this particular term, and I want to talk about reverence and revering God. And think how that should just inundate and permeate our being, our lives here, everything we do. When we talk about all of our the actions in our lives, following His commandments should glorify God. Then, how better to do that than to revere God? Give Him the reverence, the respect, the admiration, and the glory that He deserves, because He deserves it all. And then realizing at the same time His sovereignty. He's King of Kings. He does not answer to me or to you. And yet He does answer our prayers when we go to Him. But He is no respecter of persons. But this term fear here, there is some fright here. There is some being terrified and so forth. Now, when I go back to my natural family, my natural parents and so forth, when I would go to, I thought, I've got to go and ask forgiveness for this thing that I might have said or done as a child or even older and all. And so there was some fear there. Well, I sure hope that my dad has mercy on me. But yet I was somewhat fearful of that. I many times think and consider, Brother Roger used that word consider, but I consider of what God, of what He is able and what He has every right to do to me, the depth and the severity of His chastisement, for example. But the whole time, God gives me, my Father, the one I call on, gives me the remembrance that I will never, I talk about anger and chastisement, punishment here, but there is one thing that we will never have to take, and that is that eternal wrath of God. The wrath of God was taken by Jesus Christ. He welcomed that and took that. So we'll not have that. So there is some fear of that type that we think of the word fear. Job 28, I believe, 28th chapter of Job, I think just a verse here. He says here, Job 28 and verse 28, last verse in that chapter. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Fear of the Lord. And this is reverence. This is reverence right here. The fear of the Lord, that respect, that is wisdom. And if we want wisdom in our lives, and I don't know. You know, we look around sometimes, and I've known some men that as I saw, they were up in years. They had a great number of years behind them. I think, well, I could tell. I thought, that man is wise. And yet I know that simple age, the number of the years that we live, that does not guarantee wisdom at all. So I'm thinking, well, as I grow older, I'll just be 65 in September. Even no matter how much I used to think that was old, and I'll tell the younger ones, it's not old, but it's getting up there. But as I grow older, I pray that I will grow wiser. I know we have experience. If we don't learn from our mistakes or even our blessings, then we're not going to grow wiser. But how might we? It says here, behold the fear of the Lord, reverence. That is wisdom. We're wise in doing that, and we have the knowledge of that, and we are treating God as He certainly is deserving. And then he finishes this chapter, and to depart from evil is understanding. There's some knowledge there. So to depart from evil. And I think, to depart from evil, we do that in reverence to God. Why, you know, why there's that warfare that I talked about, and it might have been last Sunday. Some mentioned it at least. But this to depart from evil, that is our, the only reason we have that desire to do that. And believe me, you have to continue in that. There's not one day in your life where you can stop, okay, I don't have to worry about that part anymore. We always have to depart from evil. That's a constant thing in our lives. But that is understanding. And the fear of the Lord, that Lord is wisdom. In Proverbs, the first chapter of Proverbs, I believe. And Proverbs is full of this fear of the Lord and certainly of wisdom and so forth. First chapter, Proverbs. To emphasize the point I just made from that 28th verse, 28th chapter of Job, 7th verse, first chapter of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord... The fear of the Lord, that reverence there, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge, that reverence. And I don't, out of all the things, the spiritual things that I strive to dwell on in my life, that I felt like I've been blessed to consider, to reckon, to try to understand better and so forth, and all, and that I'm emphasized to you all, give glory to God. I'm constantly thinking that. Well, that is so broad, but I don't typically concentrate in my day-to-day life on giving respect and reverence to God as He deserves it. Each thing that we do or say or don't do in our lives, it points to that, our level of reverence for Him, to Him. But it's the beginning of knowledge. And then that verse wraps up this sentence, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, that's pretty plain. Talk about my dad being plain spoken. Well, that's plain spoken there. But this knowledge, think back to where I started in 1 Peter, that Peter was writing to those persecuted Christians there that were being persecuted in the strangers and so forth. This knowledge, this understanding, it helps us even now in persecution. When we're persecuted, I've thought, had that same thought that Brother Roger brought to our minds in those physical sufferings of Jesus Christ. When I think of the wrath of God, of this just and almighty God against Jesus that sacrificed Himself, and then I think of being spit upon or being hit with a reed or that putting that crown of thorns in His brow, and I think, well, that maybe minimizes some of that, but it shows us, I think it more so shows us at that point, since those things had nothing to do with our eternal salvation, that took place on the cross. But that showed us the sinfulness of mankind. It showed us the depravity of man. I'm careful now not to say, just declare that today, as far as wickedness and evil, that it's worse than it's ever been. You go back to when they were doing this to Jesus there and what they did to Him. When He said in the garden, I'm sorrowful even unto death, exceeding sorrowful even unto death. This man Christ Jesus suffered at the hands of men. He was scourged, beaten, and then ridiculed and humiliated. And then they thought they defeated Him. But my persecution, I have not experienced even that suffering there. Maybe you all have some stories, and maybe there's been some in school sometimes. I went to public schools, many of us did. But there's some bullying, there's some persecution there. And if it's just you and them there, I may not have a person to go to, but I can go to my high priest then. And I have been in that situation. I'll share this with you that I was actually blessed, and this was in high school. But I prayed to God to relieve me of this potential that something I was worried about. And I tell you what, he answered that prayer in the affirmative. Something that was so literal, but yet seemingly so minimal as well. But who cares? This is nothing to most people. But the Lord God answered that prayer. So early on, I realized that. That's growing in knowledge, in persecution. From then on, I remember that. I'm like, well, then why am I not praying right now to the Lord to get me through this? If he got me through that, it's the same God. Same God. He hadn't changed. He has not changed. I'm thankful for that. Let me go to Psalm real quick in just a couple of more verses and I'll close. Psalm 111. And I want to make a point with this verse, Psalm 111 and 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. I see such strength in this. Brother Tony and I were talking, but he mentioned that verse of Scripture in Matthew, upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and all that rock, that solidness there. He sent redemption unto his people, he hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverend is his name. Holy and reverend is his name. Will not be calling another man reverend. That is God's name. He is the Most High. And he puts this word here in Psalm 111:9. Holy, with that. Holy and reverend is his name. He is revered. That's that word fear that I want to concentrate on. Let's revere him. Let's respect him. And to do that is not just in mind. It's not just, okay, I respect God. Sure. It's in action. Yes, Brother Eric, it's in action. And I fail at that. And then I've missed that opportunity to glorify him. At that moment. That moment's gone. That time is gone for me that I've missed to respect him, revere him, glorify him. If that's why I'm here, I don't want to miss those opportunities. And that's when we're completely by ourselves. And that's when we're with others. And to let our light so shine. So now let me close with, and this is like the perfect verse to close something with. It even has the word conclusion in it. You may know where I'm going. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And both Proverbs and Ecclesiastes both have this theme. You're talking about that thread throughout Hebrews and so forth. But it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I'm sure you know on a Saturday afternoon, the third of three preachers in the afternoon in August under a tabernacle or something. Yeah, I'm wanting to, when someone, the preacher says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There'll probably be a bunch of amens in that. So let's hear that. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God. Fear God. Revere him. In our every thought, our actions, our being, in our workings in the church, in our lives. And there's not a period right there. There is a comma. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Our behavior that I spoke of, not only last Sunday, but other Sundays, the behavior as a citizen of heaven, then it is to fear him, keep his commandments. And then he says, for this is the whole duty of man. If I want some simplicity in the King James translation, that's pretty simple right there. And it's throughout his word. And yet, when there's a verse like, well, I'm not sure what this means and all. God, when God reveals that to us, then It is so uplifting. It's so encouraging, and he continues to do that. May God bless and keep you. We'll close the service at this time. Amen.